Go with me to Luke chapter 1 again. Luke chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoping or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her own house. This may sound strange to you. I've been trying to figure out exactly how to say this all day. But I am constantly trying to figure out what it is to really preach. Does that sound strange? Maybe it doesn't sound strange to you, but I know that I'm a low man on the preaching totem pole. This is not even really that long. But I've been doing this now for 20 years. The first 4 years of that was me teaching a Sunday school class, just like our teachers do here every Sunday. I started teaching that class in January of 04. And even though I wasn't standing in an auditorium with adults, there was still a congregation of souls that, you know, I thought about and prayed for and studied for. They were on my heart. They were on my mind. I cared for them. And it's just like our teachers do here. They know what I'm talking about. I still sat down with a pen and paper and I wrote some kind of, you know, outline or something in order. And I stood before them and I spoke just like I'm doing right now. This is no different from what I did then. This is no different. What our teachers do for these children is no less important. And it's no less effective than what I'm doing right now. And it's because our teachers are teaching these children Christ. They're not in there playing games. They're teaching Christ to them. And I personally and publicly want to thank each one of our teachers for their heart and willingness and effort in teaching our children. And I would encourage you children to thank your teachers for preaching the Word of God to you and teaching the Word of God to you every single week. It's a lot of work. And it's a great burden. Anybody who has ever walked into this building on a Sunday morning with a responsibility like that knows what I'm talking about. It's a great burden. And I just thank each one of you for doing it. I really do. So, that side note's over. This may sound a little strange, may sound strange to me, but after 20 years of doing this, I'm still constantly thinking about and pondering and praying about, what is it to really preach? I have heard some men preach before. And if I'm going to stand up here and do this, I want to know, what is it to honestly, sincerely preach? What is true preaching? What is Spirit-filled? I'm talking about Holy Spirit-blessed preaching. Tuesday morning, I got to my study and I listened to two messages by two different men. Neither one of these men are pastors. They were filling in, both of them were filling in for their respective pastor. Both of them very dear brothers, love the gospel, they know it well. And you know, you all know one of those men very well here. I won't say William's name because I don't want to embarrass him. But I listened to his message from Sunday night, and I listened to another man from another place, and I'll keep his name to myself. But as I listened to both of these men speak, and I know it, this is embarrassing, we'll take all men out of the equation. I'll take myself out of the equation, you out of the equation, every man who's ever spoken out of the equation. Let's forget about men. But here's the fact of the matter. As I listened to these two men speak, all they were doing was talking about Christ, which is an insult. Some men use that as an insult. One man told Henry Mahan one time, all you do is tell us what the Bible says. That was an insult, you know, to the man. That's the highest honor that could be paid a preacher, a true preacher of the gospel. But as I listened to both of these men just talk about Christ, my heart burned within me. I was so blessed. I was so blessed. I tell people all the time, you know, a message was preached and it was wonderful. Yeah, it's loaded on sermon audio. You ought to go listen to it. Just because a message is loaded on sermon audio, that does not mean it is going to be blessed by the Spirit. You can bottle a man, but you can't bottle God's Holy Spirit. You can't load the Spirit of God on the Internet. And so, you know, you can just, your heart can burn within you and somebody else can go listen to it and they'll say, oh, it was good, but, you know, I mean, it was true. But I believe God's Spirit blessed it to me through sermon audio. And as I was listening to both of these men, I listened to them back to back. I said to myself in that moment, that's preaching. That is preaching. It's that simple. And in saying simple, I don't mean easy. It's not easy, is it? This is not easy. I've been struggling over this all day, trying to get out what I'm trying to say. So everybody's not going, where are you going with all this? It's not easy, but what I mean by simple is singular. It's that singular. It's that singular. True preaching is not complicated. It's not about outlines, and it's not about points, and it's not about doctrinal positions. True Spirit-filled preaching is one person telling another person, come see a man. That's what it is. Our Lord said, when the Spirit comes, He will speak of me. He won't speak of Himself. He won't speak of anybody else. He will point you to me. That is true, God-given, God-blessed preaching. And I went searching for a good example of that in the Scripture. And they're everywhere. Good examples of that are everywhere. But I believe the Lord led me to Luke chapter 1. And I know that our Lord has called men to stand publicly to preach His word. But privately, right here, Mary was doing a very good job at preaching to Elizabeth. And it says right here that both of these women were filled with God's Holy Spirit. It tells us that. Verse 35 says, "The angel answered and said unto her," unto Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Son of God was in her. Therefore, the Spirit of God was in her. Verse 39 says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." So this was of God. What happened right here, what was said right here, was of the Lord. Verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe," that's John the Baptist, "the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Verse 46 says, "And Mary said," and this is the reason why we're here. This is the example. Okay, this is our message. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, again, I understand that our Lord is not ordained for women to stand publicly and assert authority over men publicly. And the reason for that is, if it's a spiritual picture of Christ and His bride, this is the reason for it. Christ being the husband, His people being the bride of Christ will never assert authority over Christ. Never. And never will they ever want to. Never. It's not that men are better. It's not that men are higher than women. Every person here knows the opposite is true. Every person here knows that. But in the eyes of God, we are all the bride of Christ. All of us. And for that reason, for this spiritual picture, women do not preach publicly, but privately. Privately. I've heard some women do some of the finest preaching that has ever been preached. I really have. I have gotten more truths to repeat in messages from women than you could possibly imagine. Women will say something and I'll think, wow, I wish I'd thought of that. And privately, between Mary and Elizabeth right here, this was true spirit-filled preaching. That's what this was. So much so, our Lord recorded it for the whole world to read till the end of time. And what I want to point out in this is all that Mary was doing was talking about Christ. That's the whole point of this. If you want to know where you're going with this, here it is. All that Mary was doing was talking about Christ. That's it. Verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You see that capital L, lowercase O-R-D? That's Jesus Christ. That's the very one who was in her womb at that moment. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's what takes place in true God-blessed, Spirit-filled preaching. The soul of a sinner is magnifying the Lord, declaring His greatness, showing His greatness. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." God my Savior, who's that? Jesus Christ. God my Savior. Sometimes we don't know what to say about Him. I don't know what to say about Him, because there's never going to be enough to say about Him. You know, we try to put this into words, but then I go back and look at the words and I think, that's not enough. I can't tell you how often I call my dad on the phone and say, this is what I just wrote down about this. Do you think that's enough? I don't think I've said enough. That's just not enough. That's not high enough. That's not exalted enough. It causes me to realize that the true worship of God's people, it goes so much deeper than words can go. It's a groaning of the soul. It's a desire and a boasting and a worship of the soul. That there are just no words for sometimes. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Hold your place right here and go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I love this. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." That is Spirit-filled preaching, that right there. Praising, boasting, magnifying, exalting Jesus Christ for who He is and what He's done for sinners like us. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Let's listen to Mary tell us this. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden." He looked on me. He chose me. He had compassion on me. He started the work. The whole thing was of Him. The Lord did this. Verse 48, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." That's all you can say about me. Blessed. Blessed. In my flesh, sinful. Concerning my salvation, blessed. Verse 49 says, "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things." He is mighty and I'm weak. He is great and I am nothing. Oh, but He hath done great things to me. He's done great things for me. He's done great things in me. Hold your place right here and go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." The Lord has done great things for us, and we're so glad. What great things has the Lord done for us? Well, how about let's start with the cross. The cross of our deliverance from sin. The cross of our liberty from bondage. Verse 1 right here says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." He said that's what the heathen were saying. The Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3, he said, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The victory is yours, and we're glad. We're so glad. Go back to Luke 1. Verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Holy, reverend, just, right, righteous. Every bit of that belongs to him. Every bit of that. Verse 50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." His mercy. How could we ever come up with words to do that justice? We talk about the blood that he shed. How often do we talk about the blood that he shed? Every service. The sin that he bore, the death that he died, the victory that he won, the salvation that he accomplished according to his mercy. Never will we ever do that justice. Never. But here's the thing. We can still talk about it. We can still talk about it. And maybe as we stand up here talking about it, God's Spirit will fill it. You know, we just sang right before this, "Fill me now." You know what that means? That means I can't fill myself. I need you to fill me. I can't feed myself. I need you to feed me. I can't bless myself. Lord, I need you to bless me. We stand up here and we speak of these things, hoping and praying that maybe God's Spirit will fill it and bless it to all the souls of them that fear him. And I can tell you, if we're talking about Christ, God's people are filled. A brother just read a scripture in my study, and that scripture was talking about Christ. And I enjoyed every word of it. Verse 51, "He hath showed strength with his arm." Isaiah 52 says, "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm." That's Christ. Mary is still speaking of Christ. "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." He has put down the proud. He's put down the self-righteous. And he has helped every soul who couldn't help himself or herself. God does not help those who help themselves. You know who God helps? Those who can't help themselves. That's who he helps. He puts down all those who say, "No, I got it." The lowly, the humble, the broken. Verse 53, He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath He sent away empty. He has fed every soul who couldn't feed himself. And He empties every soul who is full in his or her own eyes. Verse 54, He hath hope and He has helped His servant Israel, His chosen people Israel, in remembrance of His mercy, because He made a covenant of mercy forever concerning His chosen people. He has helped and helped and helped and helped. He just keeps helping and helping. Why? Because of His covenant of mercy. Verse 55 says, As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. He did that because He told them He would. Exactly what He promised He would do, He has done it. Every promise He's made, He's kept it. And that right there is where Spirit-filled preaching ends. It ends right there. Verse 56 says, Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. It does not say, Mary asked Elizabeth, Now, what are you going to do with that announcement, Elizabeth? You going to accept that or you going to reject that? It's all on you. Now, what are you going to do? It does not say that Mary asked her, Are you going to believe that or are you not going to believe it? Mary said, Everything that He's promised to do, He has done it. Period. I'll see you later. That's where it ends. That is Spirit-filled preaching. It's Christ in the beginning, it's Christ in the middle, it's Christ in the end. Period. And we're going to find that to be the case all through the Scripture. All through the Scripture. Just look, I'm done, but just look right here. When the angel came to Mary and announced the birth of the Lord. All right, we read it for the Scripture reading, but just listen to his Spirit-filled message. Verse 30. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Here's the message. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Period. And that's it. Does that bless your heart? That just blessed my heart. Period. John the Baptist. Our brother read about John the Baptist. This was his, listen to his Spirit-filled message, okay? Behold the Lamb of God. He's going to exalt every valley. He's going to make low every mountain. He's going to make straight everything that's crooked. He's going to make plain everything that's rough. He's going to rule with a strong hand. He's going to finish the work before him. He's going to feed his flock like a shepherd. He's going to carry the lambs in his arm. He's going to gently lead those that are with young. He is going to comfort and bless his people. Period. That is Spirit-filled preaching. I pray the Lord will bless us with it. I pray the Lord will bless us by it. I pray the Lord will teach us what it is to stay on Christ, that He might be glorified, we might be blessed. Amen.